Welcome to the You on the Camino de Santiago podcast, Season 4. This podcast is for and about people getting ready for their first ever pilgrimage on the Camino de Santiago in Spain, France, and Portugal. With your host, Camino guide, and longtime pilgrim, Nancy Reynolds of the Camino Experience. What is your dream? My guest today would like to know. And in fact, when we met on Zoom to record the conversation you are going to hear today, she had that question posted on her Zoom virtual background. Hi, this is Nancy, and my guest in this episode is Cinda. Her dream is to walk the Camino Francés, which she is headed out soon to do. How do you make your Camino dream a reality? Well, the same way you get to Santiago de Compostela, one step at a time. First, you say yes. Then you get yourself a roadmap for how to plan your pilgrimage on this holy road. Next, you gather your resources, map out your course, pack up, and book travel to your starting point. I have a roadmap for you, by the way. It will lay out for you all the big decisions you will need to make and the steps you will take to get you from where you are now, saying yes to your big dream, all the way to your starting point. You can get the roadmap for free by following the link in the show notes. Now, one more thing about the roadmap. When you open the email I send and download the roadmap, that automatically puts you on my email list. And then I want to let you know that through May 2024, my weekly newsletter will be focused on photos and stories from the trail. That's because I am leaving tomorrow, which is April 24th in the US, to go to the Camino. I have pre-recorded the next 6 episodes of the podcast, and I probably won't be doing live updates from the trail while I'm over there. So if you're listening to this episode in April or May 2024, and you'd like to follow me along the trail, be sure to get on my email list. Last thing about that, do be sure to open that email and download the roadmap. That's how you give me your consent to send you my weekly newsletter and other Camino-related emails. Now, before we meet Cinda, let me say a special welcome to anyone tuning into this podcast for the first time. We have been planning and preparing to walk the Camino de Santiago since August 2022, when this podcast series began. If you are stepping in for the first time with this episode, and if you are dreaming of walking the Camino, you may want to go back to the beginning, to Season 1, Episode 1, and take all of those first steps. You can also find out the different ways I help first-time pilgrims get started on their Camino journeys by stopping by my website, thecaminoexperience.com. There you will discover that the waiting lists are open for my Camino Experience groups that will start the pilgrimage in Saint-Jean-Pied-du-Port in 2025, and for my DIY Plus Camino Planning Program that will start in June or July this year. Also, be sure to check out the section called About the Camino if you'd like to learn the basics about this life-changing pilgrimage. Now, let's get to Cinda. My takeaway from this conversation is that it is time to dream again and to dream big. I'll let her tell her story. Cinda, thank you so much for being with me on the podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you, Nancy. It's so great to meet you.
Likewise. You know, something struck me. Actually, here's what happened. Somebody on Facebook shared a post, or I actually think it was a comment that you made in one of the Facebook groups. She sent it to me in Messenger and said, I think you should have this woman on your podcast.
Oh, wow.
I read that and I went, I think you are absolutely right. So I am eager for the reason why I wanted you on the podcast. I'm eager for that to unfold. So
I think I'm going to live through this podcast in a series of goosebumps upon goosebumps.
Right? You know, and I've got my tissues ready because there are some really moving parts of your story and I cannot wait to hear it from you, rather than just reading things on Facebook. So Let's get started where I always like to start, which is to put the pin in the map. So would you share with us where you're going to be walking, when you're starting, how long you'll be out there?
I'm going to start in Logroño, okay. And I'm going to Santiago, and I'm starting in a few weeks, and I'm going to be gone a total of 42 days. I'm going to walk 31 of those days.
Okay.
I'm going to have a couple of rest days along the way. And then the last part of it, because I miss the beach so much, I'm going to spend 4 days at Finisterre.
Oh, what a great idea. And yeah, a great reason for that idea.
Right. Yes.
Now, you said you're leaving in a few weeks. And does that mean you're walking in May?
I'm walking in May. Right.
Okay. Perfect. Now, what made you choose Logroño?
Well, initially, I mean, this will really open up the whole story. A number of years ago, I suffered crushed vertebrae, and I had to give up cycling, which it was my dream. Once I learned how to ride a mountain bike and convert it to a touring bike, and I did 500-800-mile trips on that all over. I was a beta tester for Google Maps for cycling.
Oh my goodness, I got chills.
Right. And but I'm not allowed to ride my bike anymore because of the back issue. And I discovered that my back hurt less when I was walking, when I was mowing my lawn or pushing a grocery cart. So I looked online for a good walker. I found one. It was very expensive. I didn't buy it. Finally, during the COVID lockdown, we got this big stimulus check, and I used it to buy the walker.
Okay.
And it arrived, and 2.5 weeks after it arrived, I had a brain aneurysm.
Oh, my goodness.
I was lucky to survive. I became a 9% survivor.
What does that mean?
It means that 79% of the people with my type of brain aneurysm, my brain was bleeding inside my head, die within 48 hours. And my surgeon loses 12% trying to fix it.
Wow. What an interesting profession.
Right. I was a 9% survivor.
Wow.
I spent a month in ICU, not even out of bed, but one time for 5 minutes, for a whole month. Then I was in rehab where I had to, I might cry here, where I had to learn how to walk again, how to dress myself, how to take a shower without assistance, how to cook a small meal, how to run the washing machine again, all of that stuff before they would let me go home. Then I went home and I continued my recovery. It was a really challenging time.
I think you're understating it.
I probably am. Right. Yes.
Yeah. I remember, I don't remember learning to walk because I was a child. And, you know, back then, that's something that we do sort of out of instinct and out of just a natural desire to move and see the world. But I'm trying to imagine as an adult,
trying to stand up again.
That would level you emotionally, Right. Mentally, spiritually.
And when I went to rehab, I was so determined. They told me how long I was going to be in rehab. I said, no, I'm not.
What'd they tell you?
They told me 6 weeks to 2 months.
Uh-huh. And you said,
no. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not going to be here that long. You have to work me as hard as you can safely. Work me as hard as you can safely. And I got out of there 2.5 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
And came home.
Okay. We're starting to get a sense of who you are.
Right. I'm a woman of determination.
I get that. Holy smokes.
And I nicknamed my walker Percy, P-E-R-S-I-E, for perseverance.
Yeah. That seems like a very fitting word for you.
Right.
Wow.
And so when I go to the Camino, I'll go with my walker. And I have a traveling companion, Waldo. You know who Waldo is.
Find Waldo, that one?
Yeah, Find Waldo. Where's Waldo? Right. I have a little doll. I mean, it's a little rubber doll. He's going, he has a, I have a thing to attach him to the handlebar of the walker. And it's going to be Percy, Waldo, and me. And I have a hat that says that, and I have it on my backpack, and that's how we're going to be known. Percy, Waldo, and me. Right.
I wish people could see your face.
Right.
This is not the face of a woman with a brain aneurysm.
No.
This is the face of a woman who is grabbing onto the brass ring and running with it and just getting out there and living large. So I want to backtrack just a little bit to a couple things. My gosh, you've said some really intriguing things. When you talk about the brain aneurysm, I'm not familiar with that, of course, from experience. And I also haven't done any research on it to know what the impact of that is. And you've told us what the recovery's been like. May I ask you what the experiences was like? How did you know that that was what was going on?
Well, I was working in my yard. I actually had a friend there with me, which I'm very lucky she was there. She was planting hostas in the front planter, and there was a small elm tree growing wild at the corner of the house. I mean, right next to the house. And I said, I'm going to dig that up because it doesn't belong there. So I went over and I did two or three digs with the shovel. And all of a sudden I had like someone put a really pretty gray panel in front of my eyes. And all I could see was this beautiful gray. And I grabbed hold of the end of the shovel and I just stood there and held on as I was afraid I was going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I just waited. I don't know how long it was. And then finally a little bit of vision came back and I stumbled over and sat on my gardening bench. And I told my friend what had happened. Meanwhile, this horrible, horrible headache hit me. The headache is called a thunderbolt.
Oof.
Okay, so like, boom, you know, and it was severe. And so I told her, I said, I'm going to go inside and rest for a little bit. She followed me in, and she actually used to be a nurse. So she was very concerned. And she says, maybe you should eat something, because she knew I hadn't eaten breakfast. And I said, okay. So she went to the kitchen. She cut an orange. I followed her. I took one bite of the orange and I said, this is going to make me throw up. We need to go to the doctor.
Yes. Good. Good call.
And I thought I was going to throw up. We got out a big plastic bowl. We took it with us. She wanted to go to the ER. I said, no, it's too expensive. Me and my, you know.
Of course.
This is what amazes all the doctors and nurses, that I still had an awareness of,
sure,
of things. Right. I lost that for a while, but it, you know, came back. I said, no, we're going to go to the day clinic because it's cheaper than the ER. So we went there and walked in, and the attendants were like, they knew what had happened. And they immediately did a CAT scan.
Okay.
And that's when they determined that I had this massive bleed in my brain. And then I did what's called a code red ambulance ride.
Mm.
To the other side of town, to the hospital. And they did not even take me to the ER. They took me directly for another more intensive CAT scan. I mean, they were going so fast. The woman that we called, a friend of mine, I consider her my bonus sister. She was there in the ER waiting for me. And they told her, we're not stopping here. And they're going down. This woman is almost 90 years old. And she was having trouble keeping up. I said, can you slow down a little bit for my friend? You know, and they slowed down a little bit, you know?
Just a little bit, because this is rather urgent.
Right. Yeah. And they did this intensive CAT scan and they put me on some kind of medication. I don't know what, because I kind of lost track of time and a great deal of cognitivity was gone. And that evening, this surgeon called. And he explained on the phone who he was and that he had reviewed my records. And I had three choices. I could do nothing, but I would probably die overnight or within 48 hours. I could do a minimum surgery where they could try and, you know, get the blood off my brain. Or I could do the full-on surgery, which go in and have my skull partially removed.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have a scar from the middle of my forehead all the way over down behind, down to here. They cut off part of my skull. They put it on ice.
Holy smokes.
Keep it alive. And then they work on my brain. And I actually saw when I went in for a checkup several months later, I was asking him, so where is this stuff? Where are the pins that you put in there? And he says, well, I can show you if you want to see. And he showed me a video clip of my surgery. Yeah, it was incredible. These hands in there manipulating my brain, blood everywhere.
Okay, so again, people can't see, but I'm sitting here with my mouth hanging open in the, imagine it. And I also want to point out, again, they can't see your face, but you are just very calmly recounting this story, just very calmly. Yeah. And I'm going to go freak out on your behalf. That is just unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I think my level of calmness helped me survive.
Okay.
You know, okay. Because when he told me that I could die while he was operating on me, I said, I believe that's not going to happen.
Ooh, I love that.
I trust in your skill. I didn't even know the man.
Yeah.
But I trust in your skill. And I'm going to be praying for you. This is what I told him the morning of the surgery. And he walked out the door and then he came back in. He says, I'm already praying for you.
Wow.
And so that's how we started our relationship. Plus, I spoke to him in Arabic because I learned Arabic when I lived in Egypt. And he was from Lebanon. I didn't know.
No kidding.
I knew he was from that area. I didn't know exactly where. But as soon as I said a few words in Arabic, he's like, whoa, how do you know that? You know,
hang on. You're part of the family.
Right, right. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So he thinks the aneurysm was old and just waiting to rupture. It wasn't something new based on what he was able to determine when he was in there messing around.
Hmm.
And he asked me if I had ever been hit in the head. And I said, well, yes. When I was in sixth grade and I was a catcher for a softball team, we just wore face masks, not helmets in those days. And I got hit in the head and knocked unconscious. He said, well, that's probably how long it's been in your brain.
Whoa.
Just sitting there waiting to rupture.
Whoa. We had a good run then, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a good run. I mean, that's incredibly, that's a long time ago because I'll turn 75 in July.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, what a great gift that it just hung out without bugging you for a while.
Right, right.
For almost 70 years. Yeah. And then look at how gracefully you walked through this and how faithfully you walked through this.
Yes. It wasn't easy.
Mm-mm.
There were days I was very depressed.
Sure. You know,
especially when during the COVID lockdown, I realized that I was an artist. I had always just been able to draw stick figures, barely a stick figure.
Tell me more.
Well, I was cleaning up my office, going through books, and I found two children's books from when I was raising my son on drawing. And so I thought, well, I'm going to try and draw a dog. So I drew a dog and it was fun. I drew another one. It was fun. And then in November, for Veterans Day, a friend in California decided to give 15 veterans each a $50 gift card. And I was one of the 15. So when I got that gift card, I thought, I'm going to do something fun with this. Because normally that kind of money would go to pay a bill. Because I live on such a small income. And I thought, no, I'm going to do something fun. So I bought a pencil drawing kit, a little lap desk, you know, that I could sit in my recliner and prop my feet up and draw, and a clip-on lamp. And I started to draw. And I learned. And I did stuff I looked in on YouTube and online and learned techniques. And now I draw with pen and ink. Well, I first do a pencil sketch, then I pen and ink it. Then I use a product called Inktense watercolor pencils where you color it in with a pencil and then you use a brush to wet it. So I draw flowers, birds. I decided I wanted to draw lighthouses because I thought of my surgeon as my lighthouse during my torrential storm.
Beautiful.
And so I drew maybe a dozen different lighthouses. I framed three of those. I chose one to give him on my 1 year anniversary. And when I met with him and he opened it up and he saw that I had drawn it, he was shocked. He says, "I thought you were an IT person," because that was my background. I said, "I was, but I did this." And I said, "I think of you as my lighthouse during my torrential storm." And he turned to me with tears in his eyes and he said, "That's what we called your surgery, a torrential storm."
Ooh.
And so then I was crying and we were both crying, but it was, I mean, it was God at work, you know,
absolutely,
in our lives.
Yes.
So I've actually drawn 126 bookmarks with a Kansas sunflower on the front and then the words Kansas sunshine. And on the back of them, I'm in the process of using my computer to print out a inspirational quote and put it on in English and Spanish, and then my picture down in the bottom. And I did 126 because I'll be gone for 42 days and I'll give away three a day.
Oh, isn't that right. Sweet? Now everybody's hoping they're going to meet you on the Camino
right.
Now. You know, so, what I'm taking away from this, Cinda, is it's not over till it's over. And if you've got something on your mind that you want to go do, you have a long forgotten dream or something that you've abandoned because you didn't think it was possible, it's time to pick that up and go do it. And they also can't see what's on your background. We record these calls on Zoom. I don't know if my listeners know that or not. We record it on Zoom. I don't keep the video. I only keep the audio tracks, but I'm looking at a photo behind Cinda of the meseta on the Camino with a banner that says, "My dream is to walk this trail. What's yours?"
Yeah.
So I want everyone to grab onto that question. What's your dream? And let's go get that going.
Well, this became my dream. I'll back up a little bit.
Okay.
I used to weigh 385 pounds. And through my cycling and stuff, I got down to 200. But
that's
then
amazing.
With my crushed vertebrae, and I also tore an Achilles, part of my Achilles, I was back up at 290 when I had my brain aneurysm.
Okay.
And I did lose a little bit of weight from the surgery and everything. But in my recovery, I decided that I needed to improve my overall health.
Mm.
And I had a friend that I had been watching for several years. And she was a coach of a program that taught better health habits. And they had a community, and she was my coach, and they had a program. And so in January of 2023, I started following that program. And as of today, I'm down a total of 110 pounds. And
fantastic.
How many inches? I'll tell you how many inches. 38 and a half inches from four locations on my body.
Fantastic. How do you feel?
I feel awesome. Strong.
Yeah.
And I'm still in the, while the program is a wellness program, there's a portion of it that deals with weight loss, balancing my blood sugars, even though I didn't have diabetes. That's an important aspect of your overall health, to have good balanced blood sugars. So I've balanced those, and I was eating what we call a 5-in-1 plan, where I eat 6 times a day, and it keeps me in fat burning mode.
Okay.
Know? So, because I still have a little bit more weight that I want to lose, because my ultimate goal is to fit into my Navy uniform, that I last wore August 2nd, 1971.
All right. That's a good goal.
I may reach that goal this year. I don't know exactly when, but, you know, it's likely possibility that that will be a present to myself for Christmas this year.
Sure. You know? Oh, my gosh. That's going to feel pretty good, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
So the living the healthy life came into a play, and that's what has allowed me to build my strength and to walk the trail, you know? And it's become an integral part of my life because someone helped me do it. Now I'm helping others do it too, mm-hmm. you know? And I've helped several people already achieve their ultimate goal, and now they're living optimally healthy, you know? And it's pretty amazing.
It feels pretty good, doesn't it, to help people achieve their goals?
Yes, it does. Yeah. It does.
So let me ask you this. You have come in just an incredible distance since that brain aneurysm, having to learn to walk, which is just a staggering achievement. Why the Camino? When you looked at all the things you could do, I mean, come on, you are a go-getter. You are a get out of my way. Don't get out of my way. Come join me. Let's go do great things. You could do anything. Why the Camino?
Well, I had always thought that for my 75th birthday, I would fly to Europe with my bicycle and I would do the Camino and I would do other parts of Europe on my bicycle. But the bicycle is no longer an option for me. And so I thought, as I began to dream again, because for a while I had no dream of doing anything like this. I felt stuck that my life was over as far as adventures, as far as physical challenges, that I just couldn't do any of that. But as I continued my recovery, as I lost weight, I began to dream again. And I walked a little bit more. I got a little bit stronger. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go to Spain, and I'm going to walk the last 100 kilometers so I can get my Compostela.
Okay.
And then I thought, I got a little bit stronger. I thought, well, maybe I'll start in Burgos because then I could walk longer. And I just kept dreaming, and the dream kept getting bigger.
They do that.
Yeah, it kept getting bigger. And it became more real.
Okay.
And so I decided that I wanted to start in Logroño because there were things I wanted to see between Logroño and Burgos. I felt that I was not strong enough when I made the decision in December. I booked my airline.
Okay.
And I booked my two nights stay in Logroño. And I didn't feel strong enough at that point to walk the Pyrenees,
okay,
you know, with my walker. I just felt that was more than I could handle because in Kansas, particularly in Wichita, our highest hill is 246 feet.
Okay. Yeah, the Pyrenees are a little bigger than that.
Yeah, right. You know, now if I still lived in California, there's mountains there I could climb, you know.
Sure.
But not here in Wichita. But more recently, as I've gotten stronger and stronger, and on Saturday, I did my biggest training walk, which I thought was going to be 18 miles. It was 19.4.
Miles, not kilometers.
Miles. And it was probably the windiest day we've had all year. 30-mile-an-hour winds minimum, with gusts up to 50 miles per hour. And the last 4 miles, the wind was constantly 40 to 50 miles per hour.
And you just kept right on going?
I kept on going. There were times during that last 4 miles that I had to stop and just hold on to my walker because it was trying to be blown out of my hands.
That was your anchor to the earth, wasn't
right.
it?
And about a half a mile from my house, because I had walked from my house to the county park, and then I did various loops around the county park. And about a half a mile before my house, there's a gas station with a convenience store and stuff. And as I'm crossing the parking lot, my mind is focused on getting in that convenience store to get a Gatorade Zero. I need it desperately. And I see a penny on the ground. I always stop and pick up a penny because I think it's good luck. I looked at that penny and I said, "Sorry, I'm not picking you up today."
Someone else gets the luck.
and I went into the store. I went headed straight for the Gatorade. I opened the door. I opened the Gatorade and I started drinking it. Then I paid for it. But I sat there for a few minutes drinking my Gatorade, at least half of it, before then I walked home and realized that I had done 19.4 miles in this brutal wind that was incessant. And I felt amazed. And I knew that I was strong enough to do the Camino.
See, and that's the key component there is the strength and yes, the endurance and the mind. Yes.
What is in your mind is where you live, you know, between here and here. And even though my brain is damaged, it still thinks.
It still works pretty darn well, doesn't it? Oh, I love it. Now, 19 point something miles, that's a pretty big day. What are your plans for the Camino? Have you mapped out some stages?
Yes, I've actually mapped it all out. And some people say you're not being a real pilgrim if you map it all out, you know.
Isn't that so interesting? I don't know where that comes from.
But I hear it all the time.
All the time. Yeah, all the time.
You're not staying in a hostel. No, I'm not. I'm having a hotel room.
Yeah.
Every night, because my limitations require me to get adequate sleep. And I decided I was not willing to take the risk of showing up at a place that had no bunks or had the bunk in the top back corner someplace. And I have to get up several times during the night to go to the bathroom, which many women do. I think even some men do. I am going to be 75. And I just decided that, yes, it's more expensive, but I needed to do that. So after I booked my airline ticket, I started booking my accommodations. And so I have that all lined up. And from Logroño, the typical map says I should reach Najera the first day. But I'm doing it in 2 days because I'm starting out slow.
Great, smart.
Then I walk for 6 or 7 days and I reach Burgos and I'm spending 2 nights in Burgos. And then I think, what's the next town I stay in? Sahagún,
yeah.
Sahagún, right, yeah.
Are you walking to Sahagún or you're going to take a transport some way?
No, I'm walking.
Okay, because that's a ways. That's more than 1 day.
Yeah, right. That's where I'm going to stay 2 nights again.
Oh, gotcha. Those are your rest days.
So I'm walking 6 or 7 days and then spending 2 nights. Walking 6 or 7 days, spending 2 nights. So I'm spending 2 nights in Burgos, Sahagún, Leon, and Villafranca, and then Santiago.
Great.
And then from Santiago, I'm taking the bus to Finisterre, where I'm spending 4 nights at the beach.
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
It's a really good plan. You know, I'm hoping that our paths will cross because I will be on the Frances the beginning of May. And I'm just hoping that our paths will cross. I would love to see you over there.
Wow. That would be awesome.
Yeah. We'll compare notes and see if that'll happen. That'll be fun.
So I have a journal. I actually have two journals. One is going to be for me to write in. Well, the other will be for me to write in too, but it has some special stuff. My friends here encouraged me to do a GoFundMe.
Okay.
Because I spent all my savings on my hospital bills. And I live just on Social Security, which isn't a whole lot of money. And I resisted that because I thought, this is not an emergency situation, you know. It's a pilgrimage. But it's not an emergency. They said, you deserve it. I have been amazed at the contributions I have gotten, which allow me to do this, to book the hotels. Yeah. And I've booked the transport of my luggage from point A to B to C. I use Camino Fácil.
Great.
It cost more than what I thought it was going to cost, because I was told it would be about €5 a day, but the prices have gone up and it's $7.50 a day. But they match the size luggage that I can take on board. And that is key to me, because I'm going to take my own snacks for 3 snacks a day. I'm okay. going to eat 3 Spanish meals a day and 3 snacks a day. I'm going to drink wine. I'm going to drink beer occasionally, because I haven't been doing any of that as I've been trying to lose weight, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah.
But, this is part of the pilgrimage to experience everything. You know?
Definitely. And with the amount of exercise that you'll be getting, I would guess that your body will burn through that at a faster rate than it would at home.
Right, right.
Yes,
right.
Definitely. Definitely.
So, but I've already gotten, I've already paid for the transportation of my luggage.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got my little tags. They're already cut and they're stuck inside my passport folder. And I'll put them on the suitcase each day, and they'll come and get it and take it away. Right.
Yes.
I got a luggage tag to put in my suitcase that is electronic, you know, so that I can always track it. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the air tags. Yeah. And that
air tag. That's what
that way
called,
you know right? where it is. Yeah. You know, some people do that. I've never done that. And they very rarely lose track of a bag. It's very rare. So but for many people, that brings them the peace of mind. And then the other thing I've heard people use those for is it guides them to where they're staying. So rather than struggle with a map and trying to read street names and left, right, they just follow the map to the air tag and they find where they're staying.
Oh, that's a great tip. Thanks. Right. Right. Yeah. Well, I figured it was worth $20 to do that, you know.
Yeah, sure. That's a good investment.
Right.
So your GoFundMe, you said, I looked at your GoFundMe, and one of the things I enjoyed about it was the video that you have on there that tells your story from way back at the beginning when you first started the weight loss journey, from your largest size down to the weight that you lost. Really, that was so inspiring. And then that was only act one. And then we get into this next round with the back injury and then the aneurysm. And it's like, okay, 3's a charm. This woman's done. Let's get all the glory from here on out. Let's get you doing some incredible things with no further setbacks. That's my wish for you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been an amazing ride or walk, whichever way you want to look at it. Every time I think about this dream coming true, I get an emotional rush that's almost beyond description. I've worked hard. I've actually walked during training since the end of January. I've walked 500 miles.
You've done that, yeah.
And that's mind-blowing to many of my friends, you know, because they can't walk a half a block. But part of it has been, like I said before, in my brain, thinking that I can do it, you know. The first time I set out to walk outside my house with my walker, my friend came with me. I could barely make it a half a block. Had to sit down and take a break and then go back home. We did the same thing the next day and the next day. Then we went to the end of the block and came back. Then we went 2 blocks and came back until we were finally doing a loop. When we did the loop, I had to stop 4 or 5 times for rest. Now she says, slow down. You're going too fast.
Can't keep up with you.
Right, right.
Yeah. You know, there's a great lesson in that is to start exactly where you are. Don't judge it. Don't tell yourself that's not where you're supposed to be. You are right where you're supposed to be, and take those steps towards your goal.
It's important to take the first step.
Yeah.
And then take another.
Yes.
And another. And that's what I'm going to think about when I'm walking the Camino. Yeah. I get so excited thinking about that day in Logroño when I walk out of the hotel taking my first step.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I feel like,
whoa.
And it is going to be a moment of the beginning of something incredible. Okay. Where I'm going to not know what kind of physical effort I'm going to face, wondering about who the people are I'm going to meet on the trail, experiencing all the different foods. I've already been in communication with some of the hotel people. They're so excited to meet me. I'm excited to meet them. One woman didn't have space. She goes, you got to stop in when you pass through.
Yeah.
Because I need to meet you.
This is a story if there ever was one.
When I was booking, I needed to identify that I was walking with a walker. Uh-huh. It either needed to fit in my room or have a safe place to store it overnight. And so I had to be very specific about that. I also think about the last day when I take that crested hill down into Santiago, what kind of emotions are going to run through me? And the following day when I go to the cathedral, I know I'm going to be filled with immense gratitude for God's gift of life, for his grace, for his guidance, for the experience. I don't know what I'm going to learn on this trip, but I know it's going to be life-changing. And it's going to be one step at a time. And then I'm going to go and I'm, the other thing, I've read that pilgrims back in the early days, they carried a stone with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they said prayers with that stone. And then they laid that stone to get rid of the burden that they were carrying. Well, I have a bunch of small stones that I have put the initials of the people that have contributed to my GoFundMe on.
Oh, sweet.
I have a larger stone that I'm actually in the process of painting something on it that represent the people in my church. I did a fundraising luncheon. And so the people that gave money for that luncheon. I'm going to have two bags, one of uncarried stones, one of carried stones. So every day I'll put a couple of stones in my pocket. And I'll walk and I'll pray for those people during those days. Some have asked for special prayers. I'll pray the special prayer. My friend who has done the Camino several times, she said, since you're going to Finisterre, put them at the cross overlooking the ocean.
There you go.
So I'm going to carry all the stones and I'm going to lay them there and I'm going to say my final Camino prayer of gratitude, you know, for all that I have experienced, good and bad, you know, because I know it's not going to be a perfect walk. Nothing in life is perfect, right?
Well, we have to define the word perfect, though, don't we?
Right.
Yeah. Perfect is, in this case, does not mean flawless.
Right.
It means exactly the right experience for you. So I listen to your story and I think, wow, who cares where she sleeps? Anybody who wants to say you're not a pilgrim because you don't sleep in the albergues or you don't carry your backpack has missed the point.
Yes. Yes.
Cinda, so inspiring.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, wow. We could almost end right there, but I want to know more. So I have a question for you.
Sure.
And I know that anyone who is listening who has already walked the Camino is wondering, how do you maneuver a walker on a trail that's not paved? Will you talk about how you'll be handling the terrain?
Well, I have practiced on some very rough terrain in Kansas. In fact, one day I walked, it was a town several hours from here, and this park was supposed to have a loop path, and I walked it. And there were places that I had to walk through trees. I had to hunch down to get under the trees because it had grown over.
Mm-hmm.
There were places, well, I actually had to ford over a fallen tree. I had to take the front wheel off my walker and lift it over and then lift the walker over and reassemble it and continue on.
Okay.
And then from there, I, you know, was following the path and it went down along this creek and there was a trail just barely wide enough for the walker. I had to hold on to it very good so that it didn't go over into the creek.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that there are going to be some nice trails like this behind me,
uh-huh.
but there's also going to be some that are rough and
yes.
I'll just have to take it slow and easy.
Okay.
You know?
Is there any kind of terrain that might be just impassable for you, do you think? Or you think you can navigate just about anything?
Well, it's an I've also walked in 3 and 4 inches of snow.
Of course you have.
To practice, you know, because it's a lot of work to
sure
do.
It is.
There might have been some difficult places going through the Pyrenees.
Yeah.
You know, because I heard that's a rougher trail. If there are some severe steps, that will be a big, big challenge
mm-hmm.
because I'll have to figure out a way to get up and down the steps. I've done a little bit of practicing with that.
Okay.
You have to do it slow.
Slow and steady.
Oh yeah. Slow and steady is good whenever you get in that situation.
Yeah.
Just make sure that you have hold. I have nice brakes on it.
Okay.
So going downhill, I often have to use the brakes because it wants to, you know, get away from me.
Sure.
On Saturday, I did climb the biggest hill in Wichita, 246 feet. And I went up the easy part. I came down the easy part. I went up the hard part, came down the hard part. So I think that I'll be able to handle the Camino. If I can't, I'll find a way around it, because if I have to backtrack and get a cab around it, I'll do that. I'm hoping not to have to do that. But I know that's an option, you know? So it's not going to stop me from trying,
Great.
Stop me from going, because I'll find a way to make it work.
Yeah. And, you know, I bet, I don't know if you've thought of this other way, is that I just bet that there will be pilgrims on the trail who would be happy to assist in any way, whether that's, you know, put your hand on my shoulder and someone else will move the walker. You put your hand on my shoulder and we'll get you through this tough spot.
Yes. And I also have trekking poles. You know what those are?
Of course. Big right. fan.
Right. And I have a way of strapping them onto my walker.
Okay.
So that if I get into a situation like that, where someone wants to help carry the walker through and I take myself through with my trekking poles, right. I'll be able to do that. And in the evenings, when I am going out and about, I can now, actually in the past couple of months, I have been able to give up using the trekking poles for short walks.
Mm-hmm.
So I can walk in and out of the grocery store, in and out of church, to go shop, go to a restaurant without my trekking poles, because I'm strong enough now to do that.
Fantastic.
One of the problems I had from the brain surgery is my right leg doesn't lift normally.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go up and down steps, I have to do them half a step at a time.
Okay.
Rather than, you know, the normal route.
Mm-hmm.
But with the trekking poles, I can move at a pretty good pace.
Great.
And so in the evenings when I go out for dinner, I'll probably use my trekking poles versus my walker.
Gotcha.
Just for a change of scenery. Whatever.
Yeah. And so that you have some stability. I call my trekking poles my moving banister. So I always have something with me to hold on to because I have wobbly knees.
Yeah.
The other picture I had in my mind, and you mentioned steps on the Camino and stairs. So many of the hotels and guest houses don't have elevators.
Right.
And the room is upstairs.
Yes. And I've talked with a couple of those places. And I said, as long as someone can carry my luggage up the stairs, I can get myself up the stairs.
Right.
And the interesting thing, the fellow at the place where I'm staying at the beach, he wrote back to me and he says, I know exactly the room I'm going to put you in. It's on the first floor. There's no stairs. There's plenty of room for your walker. And you're going to have a view of the beach. I said, yes, sir, you got my number.
Love it. And you know what? I bet it will give him such great pleasure to accommodate you and your needs. People love to help people.
And he told me not, I asked him what would be the best way to get from his hotel to A Coruña, mm-hmm. where I'm flying back to Madrid. And he said, don't worry, we'll figure it out when you get here. We'll get you a safe, easy way to go. So
it's great. I have a feeling people will be lining up to be of service to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I will be overwhelmed.
Yeah. I'm overwhelmed just thinking about it and just imagining the journey you have ahead of you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
Just that it has been a real pleasure to share my story here. Hopefully someone is sitting out there listening who thinks they can't do it. But I know they can. Yeah. And you can see that I'm crying right now.
I can see it.
They can do it. Yeah. Regardless of the limitation. If they believe in themselves, just believe, trust in taking the first step, and you'll be able to take the next one.
That's it.
And the next one.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you'll be in the Camino de Santiago.
That's it right there. Cinda, thank you so much. What an absolute pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Been a real joy.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I wish you a beautiful journey, and I'm going to find you out there somewhere.
As they say, buen camino.
Buen camino, Cinda. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.